30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. So, we're going to talk about Quiet on Set today, which is the new ID, or Investigation Discovery documentary about what happened at Nickelodeon in the 90s and 2000s. So, I want to address something first real quick before we get into this too deeply. This is going to be mostly an exercise in reading for bias and talking about how a documentary can shape a narrative. I'm trying to phrase this properly. Shape a narrative about what the subject is in a way that may not be the best way to use a documentary. I'm not saying that what happened wasn't bad. I want to make that abundantly clear. I'm not saying that, you know, what Snyder was up to was not nefarious, and there's definitely a lot of weirdness to it. What I'm saying is that the documentary kind of goes out of its way to paint a picture with facts that are, you know, like, and testimony. But it also does this with showing, like, equating certain things together in a way that is kind of, I don't know if propaganda is the right word, but it's designed to make you form your own conclusion in a way that's not, I would say, I don't want to say proper, but I would say it's definitely like what happens when you don't have, you know, like eyewitness testimony or a testimony from people directly involved in something, so you end up with, you know, this. That said, again, not minimizing what the working conditions at the show sounds awful. At these shows sound awful. What happened to these child actors is awful. But we're talking about the makeup of the documentary when we talk about this. So, that said, I think one of the things that, like, the big thing of the documentary is specifically what happened to Drake Bell. And I think, too, it's like, had they not, had they not done a piece in Variety a week earlier, where they were like, where they kind of, I hate to say spoiled, because it sounds A, dismissive, and B, ridiculous, but like, it's shot like a big reveal, in it. Which is kind of like, you know, when I texted Peter about it, I was like, there's something in here that kind of reminded me of the end of The Jinx, which is, at the end of episode 2, there's the big reveal that Drake, from Drake and Josh, was the one who was the John Doe who was sexually assaulted by the dialogue coach, Peck, whose name, first name I'm forgetting, but, and that's the big reveal in that episode. And intentionally, by design, they broke this up into two nights. Two episodes aired on Sunday. Two episodes aired yesterday. And then all of them went up on Max. And it, by design, this was meant to be like a holy shit moment. I think there are only 4 episodes. That felt like a kind of solid way to end it, the most recent one. But it is, you know, that's, you know, that was the big reveal in it. was his personal experience on that set and with that dialogue coach. And that was by far the most affecting thing in the show. When you, and the thing is, they devoted an entire episode to it, and rightfully so, because hearing testimony from the former stars was the biggest and most useful thing here. Which is why it's like, okay, so Alexa Nicholas was also in here. Like, she was also in this, you know, like, you know, in this documentary. But, like, in the first episode, and then, like, at the end, she was there. And that's because, like, the show is really about mostly the All That years, and then Drake's story. And then it's, like, everything that comes after is all in, you know, in the last episode. So, like, iCarly, Victorious, you know, all that stuff's kind of in the last episode. And this idea that, like, you get to the end, and because she's wrapped up in the iCarly part, it's this idea that she is stuck in, like, she doesn't really get a chance to tell her story. It's like, at the end, she's like, it got to the point in season two, or toward the end of season one, I don't remember which it was, that I didn't want to go to set anymore. Like, I wouldn't go to set without crying. And it's like, they don't, like, why don't we hear her story? And we heard testimony from some of the other kids from All That, and they, well, testimony, they, like, you know, interviews from all the kids from All That, and they were talking about, like, how he was kind of, like, racist a little bit, where it's, like, when he wrote these things, like, the kid who was selling the Girl Scout cookies, they had the black kid play the kid selling cookies who was kind of, like, a, like, designed to be a drug dealer, like, and then it's, like, all the parents were, like, well, we didn't really want to rock the boat, because if we rocked the boat, then we would have ended up with, you know, what's it called, with, you know, we would have been out of a job, and, you know, we needed the money, and it's one of those situations where, and then it's like they have these, the story of the PA, who turned out to have a huge stack of child pornography, and obscene predilections, and then also Peck, who had the signed painting by John Wayne Gacy. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's clear that, okay, when you make a documentary and you're going to tell the story of something that happened or someone, your goal should be, as we unfold the story, we will tell the story and take the story wherever it goes. This doesn't feel like that. This feels like we want to be the ones to out to out Dan Schneider as a Harvey Weinstein of children's television. That's what this documentary felt like. And then they never got that smoking gun of someone coming forward being like, oh yeah, he molested me, oh yeah, he raped me, oh yeah, he did X, Y, and Z. There's always the appearance of impropriety, and there is the way he treated adult female employees, and the degrading way that, you know, the child female, or like the child female actresses were portrayed on screen, and put into sexually compromising positions. It's a thing where it's like, this has the appearance of impropriety. But there's no smoking gun. And they try to manufacture one where it's like, I'm not saying that he didn't do anything. Again, not saying he didn't do anything. I'm saying we don't know if he did anything or not. Because no one has been able to come forward and say, yeah, this is definitively, you know, what happened. Like, there are the rumors that Jamie Lynn Spears' baby is his. He's the father. Which, you know, might be the case. But, like, we don't know anything for certain, because no one with direct knowledge spoke about it. And the only person with direct knowledge who came forward with a sexual assault, who was sexually assaulted, was Drake Bell. And Drake Bell very clearly was like, no, it wasn't him. He had nothing to do with it. He was very supportive of me coming forward. And it's just one of those things where it's like, they're trying to, like, juxtapose different things, like, and create the appearance that, like, oh, he probably did it. But, like, what you needed was, you needed a Ariana Grande. You needed a Jeanette McCurdy. You need, well, Ariana Grande was never going to come forward because she is allegedly NDA'd, based on Jeanette McCurdy's book. You needed a, what's it called, you know, and that's the other thing is, they acknowledged Jeanette McCurdy's book. Like, they couldn't pull her for this, which feels weird. Because she feels like an easy pull. Like, because it's like she's already talked about this publicly. And then you mentioned, oh, we got this person, we got this person, we got this person, we're all talking about. Like, why wouldn't she come in to work on this? So it's one of the things where it's like, and again, you also take into consideration the network. Because this is something else that I was thinking about as I'm watching this, where it's like, they're acting like in the documentary, this is a well-known thing. Which is kind of one of those things where it's like, when Weinstein got outed in 2018, like, the whole thing was, oh, he is, you know, a lot of people knew, and has never said anything. And it's like, at the same time, I think that this is less well-known than Harvey Weinstein. I think Harvey Weinstein was kind of, you know, reasonably well-known within circles, but I think that the idea that here you have this, like, they're acting like this is a known issue, and I would contend that if Victorious, or a show with a different cast, but same general premise and same everything, like, I think the, I mean, really, you couldn't have Victoria and Justice there, but, you know, if it was the same general thing, was brought to Cartoon Network in the late 2000s, early 2010s, when they were doing their live-action push, that very brief live-action push, and Snyder brought it to them, they would have taken it. And it's one of those things where it's like, and why am I bringing Cartoon Network? This is Investigation Discovery. This is on Max. This is produced by Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers feels safe to be able to do this. You wouldn't get something like this from a Disney, partially because they don't have an outlet for it, but you wouldn't get something like this from a Disney because you'd immediately get people like, well, what about you guys? What do you guys, like, what was going on behind the scenes at Disney? Which we love Zack and Cody with, you know, you were grooming pop stars for decades, so you couldn't do it there, but you can do it on a Warner Brothers network because you don't get that question. But without a doubt in my mind, if you had brought this option to Warner Brothers in the, you know, when Cartoon Network was trying to, you know, do their live action push, they would have taken it without a question. And look, I'll say it again, like, it's not a great environment to be in. They went out of their way to make that abundantly clear. It's just it feels kind of exploitative in a weird way, because clearly the thing that's going to get attention is Snyder. Like, because there have been these talks about Snyder for, like, a decade at this point, almost, where it's like, we all, you know, we all kind of know that there was something weird there. So, to do this feels like it's designed to, like, look, we're gonna tell these people's story, but we're gonna frame it around this guy. But we're not actually going to tell, like, I didn't leave this knowing too much more about Snyder as a person and what he did. Like, because that's the thing. It's very, like, you say the darker side of kids' TV, the only things that they really talk about with Snyder are the things that he did as, you know, to other adults. Like, there is no, like, oh, and here's what he did to the kids. which is, you know, like, I'm not saying we needed that, but very clearly that's what this documentary is trying to do. Very clearly, this is a documentary that's trying to capitalize on the fact that there are credible allegations against this man, and it's definitely designed to be like, here's the smoking gun against him, like, we you know, we'll get him, like, we got him now, like, he treats people like shit, especially women, and anyone who's not white, and the thing is, too, it's like, look, he had a writer's room on all that, so they give him the, you know, like, the idea, like, it's not just him in that case, this is gonna sound dismissive, but if you've watched the Pixar short, Pearl, which came out a few years ago as part of their Spark short program, there was the one Pearl is about this little ball of yarn who gets hired to work in this office, and, you know, balls of yarn are all, like, knitted into something, and she feels uncomfortable because she's totally different, and they're kind of making jokes at her expense and all that kind of stuff, so she eventually becomes one of the guys, and that's kind of what this was, is it was that kind of environment where you had to be one of the guys to get in, and if you didn't fall into that mold, it's kind of like a weird, that's where you end up in these situations where it's like, it's dismissive, it's a misogynistic environment, it's not a great environment for work in general, but it, like, again, they conflate that with allegations of, and not just allegations, but like criminal records of sex abuse, but none of the actors who were kids at the time, including the one who was Amanda Bynes before Amanda Bynes, whose name I'm forgetting, to the point where they were going to make her, like, they're going to make her the Amanda show, it was going to be her show instead, like, that was, you know, even her, like, didn't make the allegation that he was ever sexually inappropriate with her, like, and that's the thing, is that it's like, they use the appearance of impropriety with, like, the emancipation, and, you know, her attempting to, you know, run away with the help of Schneider, and it's like, yeah, that's weird, but without Amanda Bynes here to tell her side of the story, it feels not hollow, but it feels kind of like, well, let's look at what it looks like. Like, I need to, like, this is a 4-part documentary. It's about 4 hours long, or 3 and change, and because it's commercials, and, like, maybe they're NDA'd. Maybe that's it. But if that's the case and you can't tell the full story, then don't bother. Like, if you can't tell the full story and you can't fully lay out whatever allegations you're hoping to get, then, you know, it is what it is. And what this feels like is this was a thing that they got paid to do, the documentary filmmakers, they got the money to do it, and they were like, alright, we will get people to talk, and then when no one did, they had to reshape it on the fly, and that's how you end up with this thing being what it is. So yeah, so I think we will wrap up there for today. It's an interesting documentary. I mean, I'm not saying don't watch it, it's an interesting documentary, but it's more about workplace issues and the issues that came from having, like, predators on set, who were not Schneider. So if you're looking for the Schneider smoking gun, you're not going to find it here. Just, you know, get that out of your head right now. But if you're looking for just an interesting documentary about how toxic the workplace was on the set of, like, All That and, you know, Drake and Josh, stuff like that, this is a good documentary. It's well made. And you have to feel, like, bad for these kids. Like, it's, you know, it's well made in that regard. But it definitely has a narrative it's trying to push or trying to get you to think something, without being able to establish any evidence of that. Like, he very clearly wants to paint Schneider as a pedophile, but there's no tangible evidence of Schneider being a pedophile, that is presented in the documentary. So maybe something else will come out down the line. But, you know, as of the, you know, for the documentary, there's nothing in there that's like, here's the smoking gun. You know, here is the proof. Here is the person testifying who will be like, yeah, I was this age and Snyder did X, Y, and Z. You get that, but not with Snyder. But we'll wrap up there for today. This week we have Ghostbusters Afterlife, and until our next episode, have a great rest of your, not Afterlife, Frozen Empire. Have a great rest of your